Back in the late 1990s, or maybe the early 2000s, I was browsing the exhibit hall at General Assembly, our big every other year gathering of disciples from the US, Canada, and around the world, when a book caught my eye at the Chalice Press bookstore. This was the era of Jeff Foxworthy and You Might Be a Redneck If, and this book followed that theme. It was called You Might Be a Disciple If, and it took a humorous look at things that made the Christian Church Disciples of Christ unique. I picked up a copy for myself and one for my parents, and we had some good laughs over some of the ideas. It's been many years since I read it, and the book is now out of print, but I can still remember a few of the statements. You might be a disciple if you own chalice-shaped soap on a rope. You might be a disciple if your airplane seatmate sees your chalice lapel pin and asks why you're against drinking wine. And there was one that especially resonated with me. You might be a disciple if you visit a new disciple's church and discover yet another new way to serve communion. From our beginnings on the American frontier, the movement that became the Christian church, movements that became the Christian Church Disciples of Christ have been made up of a diverse group of people with different ways of being church, all banding together to worship and follow one God. Honestly, that's one of the things I love best about being a disciple, our way of welcoming people from different backgrounds with different ideas and practices. In a world where the term diversity has gotten a bad reputation over the last few years, I love being part of a church movement that encourages people to read and understand Scripture for themselves. A church that embraces and encourages women and youth and people who are LGBTQ to take roles in leadership. A church currently headed by a black woman. The passage from 1 Corinthians that Elizabeth just read for us is a familiar one to many of us. And it's also a clear statement about our diversity as Christians, our individual gifts given by God, and our unique places in the one body of Christ. Before we dig deeper into the scripture itself, it's important to understand the historical context of Paul's letters, and especially the letter to the new Christian community in Corinth. Before his conversion to Christianity, Paul was a Pharisee who participated in the persecution of early followers of Jesus. After a dramatic conversion experience where he was struck blind on the road to Damascus and actually encountered Jesus, Paul was baptized and began missionary trips to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, not all of the fledgling Christian communities Paul visited were thriving. Some early Christians struggled with the everyday challenges of establishing a community that followed the teachings of Jesus. Debates and arguments broke out about issues from who should be in leadership to how worship should happen to how the resources of the community should be distributed. Paul wrote letters to many of these early Christian communities, providing encouragement, settling debates, and giving instructions on how to live as followers of Christ. Each of Paul's letters was addressed to a specific community dealing with specific problems. And yet the ideas in Paul's letters addressed such universal challenges that many of them can also guide us as Christians living in community more than 2,000 years later. Two of Paul's best-known letters were written to the Christian community in Corinth, a city-state in ancient Greece. Corinth was a relatively wealthy center of trade with two ports. Paul first visited Corinth somewhere around the year 49 or 50 CE, so between 15 and 20 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. According to the book of Acts, Paul lived in Corinth for about 18 months, where he worked as a tent maker and worshiped at the local synagogue. During that time, he actually founded the Corinthian church and saw firsthand some of their struggles to establish themselves as a community of followers of Jesus. After Paul left Corinth and traveled to other cities, he received the shocking news that the Corinthian Christians were struggling with rivalries, jealousy, immoral behavior, and disagreements that could not be solved, such as whether the ability to speak in tongues was the most important spiritual gift that elevated certain people above everyone else. Paul wrote the first letter to the Corinthians to correct what he saw as erroneous beliefs and to guide the Corinthian Christians in how to live together in community. The letter was read aloud in worship services and other gatherings, probably multiple times, so that everyone in the Corinthian church had the opportunity to hear and learn from Paul's instruction. The section of 1 Corinthians that is our focus today is a well-known and well-loved passage of Scripture, using vivid imagery of a body to explain how Christians are diverse, interconnected, and interdependent. The analogy of a group of people as members of a body would have been familiar to the Corinthians even before this letter arrived. In Greek and Roman culture, the image of a body and its members was used often to explain each person's place in the political hierarchy. Leaders used the body analogy to convince people who were poor or oppressed not to complain or try to change their circumstances, because that was their rightful place in the body. In this letter to the Corinthian church, Paul adopted this familiar analogy, but turned it upside down. According to Paul, all Christians are one body, baptized by the one Spirit. Through the act of baptism, we all become equal members of the body. Our religious and social hierarchies no longer exist. Whether we're Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, young or old, black or white, gay or straight, we are the many members of the same body. It's a phrase we've heard over and over, including from the choir this morning. Many gifts, one spirit, one body, many parts. And yet it's a powerful statement when you really think about it. We are all equally important. And yet God never intended for us to all be exactly the same. God created us to be diverse and loves us specifically in our diversity. In a world that tries to tell us the right way to act or dress or look or behave, God created each of us to be different and embraces that diversity in us. What a comfort to any of us who have ever felt lonely or isolated or left out because we're not like everyone else. But Paul's letter is not just about our God-given diversity. It's also a reminder of our connection and our interdependence. The body is made up of many different members, all with their own functions that contribute to the whole: eyes, ears, hands, feet, and so on. In the same way, each of us has our own function within the larger church community. Each of us has been given unique gifts, not for our own individual benefit, but to contribute to the common good. Variety is essential in being Christ's church. The church depends on people with a variety of gifts. American management consultant Mary Parker Follett explained it well when she said, "Unity, not uniformity, must be our aim. We attain unity only through variety. Differences must be integrated, not annihilated, not absorbed." Unity, not uniformity. Paul's message to the Corinthians is a message about diversity within the unity of the one body of Christ. And it's also a message about interdependence. Not only do we all have different gifts, but the church needs all of these gifts to thrive and spread the good news. Let's think about this for a minute using an example from our own church. I fully believe there are important things I bring to this church and some things I definitely don't bring. I'm not much of a musician. I know very little about legal agreements and contracts. And I don't have experience with payroll and W-2s and W-4s and the other paperwork that goes with employing people. And please don't put me in charge of repairing, well, anything, or hanging pictures or decorating the sanctuary, because that's not what I'm good at. Luckily for us, we have Kim to lead our music program with support from our talented musicians. We have Lee to ensure the legal agreements are in order, and Jimmy to make sure the contributions are deposited and the paperwork is correct. and Sanford with help from many others to help manage repairs, and Connie and Dory and Julie and Chris and others to take care of the artistic vision. We're all part of the one body of Christ here at Lawrenceville First Christian Church, with diverse gifts and talents given by God. And as we come together and share those gifts, we make the whole church better. But here's where the message from Paul becomes difficult. We are called to love everyone and embrace the gifts and contributions of everyone. Not just the people we know well and like, not just the ones who have been part of the church for years. Everyone, including people who are very different from us or whose gifts we don't yet recognize or understand. The body of Christ includes everyone. There's a contemporary hymn we sing at the table, the campus ministry group I'm part of in Athens. The chorus says, "Draw the circle wide, draw it wider still. Let this be our song, no one stands alone. Standing side by side, draw the circle wide." This is exactly what Jesus did in his ministry. As I was doing research for this sermon this week, I came across a cartoon by Canadian blogger Rob Getz. Imagine two disciples standing on a road with mountains in the background. One of the disciples says, "Haven't seen Jesus for a few days." The other disciple replies, "Yeah, he said he was going to go draw a circle around everyone who is in, headed off the other way, and we haven't seen him since." That's the kind of inclusive love that Jesus taught. A circle so wide that everyone is inside of it. Unfortunately, this kind of inclusive love is incredibly hard to live out. It can't be done at a distance. It requires that we get close to people in a way that's not always easy and not always comfortable. It's no secret that church attendance is declining, especially in mainline Protestant denominations like the Disciples of Christ. Many churches have gone to great lengths to attract new people, especially younger ones. Churches have tried new ideas. Coffee bars that serve lattes before worship. Pastors in jeans. James said I should have worn jeans today. Flashy lights displayed during worship. Moving worship services to restaurants or bars. But none of these fixes has changed the fact that many younger adults, when asked about their church affiliation, describe themselves as either none or done, meaning they have no interest in being part of a church. Many of these nuns and duns go looking for the body of Christ outside the church because of the problems they see within the church. And most of those problems are relationship problems. People in churches sometimes fail to demonstrate love for each other and don't do a good job of including people who are new to the church in that love. One of my favorite Christian authors was Rachel Held Evans. She grew up in an evangelical church, but as she became a teenager, she discovered ways that her church did not show love for everyone, especially those whose sexual orientation or gender identity was different from the norm. She left the church entirely for many years, but eventually found her way back because something important was missing in her life. In her words, quote, "What finally brought me back after years of running away wasn't lattes or skinny jeans, it was the sacraments, baptism, confession, communion, preaching the word, anointing the sick. You know, those strange rituals and traditions Christians have been practicing for the past 2,000 years. The sacraments are what make the church relevant, no matter the culture or the era. They don't need to be repackaged or rebranded. They just need to be practiced, offered, and explained in the context of a loving, authentic, and inclusive community." End quote. We are called to be that loving, authentic, and inclusive community. A community that embraces the wide variety of spiritual gifts in our midst, including those gifts that we may not understand or feel comfortable with yet. Paul's letter reminds us that we are the one body of Christ, and we need to relate to each other in ways appropriate for what we already are. May our concept of Christian unity be grounded in the belief that each person is an indispensable part of the body, called by God to contribute special and distinctive work to the well-being of the whole body. As Christians, being different is not only something to be tolerated and accepted. Our differences are expected and needed and should be celebrated, for we are all equally loved by God and equally important in the body of Christ. With that in mind, may we continue and expand our efforts to reach out and share God's inclusive love with the community around us, because we may be surprised by the gifts the Spirit sends our way when we do. Amen.